This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you. If you're waking up on a Thursday, hello. There's a lot to keep you company over the next hour of our show. Plenty happening in sports. We've got the next round of preseason games in the NFL. And also handy work stoppage memo from the union to the players just in case there is a lockout or a strike after next season. Man, it seems like so far down the road, there's no way that could happen. And I really do hope that's the case. But it's smart to have a contingency plan in the case of catastrophe. It's smart to have one even if you don't play in the NFL or play any type of professional sport. Always smart to be prepared as much as possible for calamity or catastrophe. And so I'm actually impressed by the work stoppage memo and the rules for the athletes to start saving and cutting back. I actually wrote a CBS Sports Minute on it. I was so impressed. We've got some QB news this hour. The latest on the Redskins quarterback depth chart. Also, Aaron Rodgers will see his first action tonight against that Ravens defense. So it's Packers-Ravens in one of the preseason games. And according to Matt LaFleur, the starters, including Rodgers, will see about a quarter or so of work. Baker Mayfield talking about his receiving core with Odell Beckham Jr. unable to practice. And so we'll give you the latest in QB news coming up in 15 minutes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Ha! We're asking you, I feel like doing this now to at my own peril. Some of the questions are, let's just say whatever they told you in kindergarten and about how there's no such thing as a stupid question, that's a lie. There is, in fact, such a thing as a stupid question, and we've had a few, but the ones that you're sending me on Twitter and Facebook, you know what? Some of them are really creative and also are making me think. Questions that make you go, hmm. So you're burning sports questions that have no answers. In other words, we've got no spoilers. We just have to wait to see how it plays out. I use the Cleveland Browns as an example. Will they actually be worthy of the hype this season? There's a lot of hype. It's not necessarily because they've asked for it. Although, you know, Baker Mayfield does wake up feeling dangerous. The attention, the expectations, they're kind of rocketing out of control a little bit. And I desperately want them to be worthy of all the excitement from Browns Nation. And I think just from football fans in general. But there's work to do to get to that point. So that was one suggestion that I came up with. But you guys are coming up with a lot of really good ones. And I don't want to give you all my questions because I don't want to steal your thunder. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Just look for the puppy. And then you can find Yoda on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I don't know if Mets magic has run out. Three consecutive losses is not the end of the world. But I kind of feel like the lineup for the Braves had eyes as big as saucers when Mickey Callaway pulled his starting pitcher. And on Wednesday night, it was Steven Matz, pulls his starting pitcher for a member of the bullpen, even though Matz had only thrown 79 pitches, and at that point had only given up a couple of hits, had only allowed one run. Think about it. If you're the Braves lineup, and you're swinging away, getting ready for the seventh inning, and you realize there's a pitching change. Isn't that absolutely what you want to see? So Matt gets pulled. 6 innings, 79 pitches, seemingly in a groove. But Mickey Callaway, he decides to make a change. So maybe it's not Mets magic that's run out. Maybe it's just Callaway's magic that's run dry.
Pitch to Flowers. Ground ball right side. Going hard to his right, Alonso. He can't get it. Tejada does. He has nowhere to go with it. And everybody's safe. That's an RBI base hit for Tyler Flowers, and the Braves regain the lead. It's 3-2 here in the seventh. Yeah, the 1-2 from the southpaw. That's a line shot through the left side and a base hit. Rounding third, heading for the plate is Joyce. Here's the throw from Altair. Here's the slide. Here's the tag, and he's safe. And it's 6-2 Braves on the RBI single from Ozzie.
The best reliever in baseball sitting down there is Seth Lugo. He's been doing the job for a month and a half. Matsy's running around the bases. We got Donaldson coming up, Duvall coming up. And, you know, I'll make that move 100 times out of 100. That's the right move in my mind. I understand that it didn't work out, but Lugo comes in there, throws up a zero, two zeros, which is why we double switched him in. Gives us more chance to score some runs. You know, unfortunately, it didn't happen, but the guys didn't give up. You know, got to give them credit. They tried to come back off their bullpen, and we came up a little short.
Yes, Mickey Callaway's Mets lost the battle of the bad bullpens. But come on, you give up 5 runs in the seventh. Well, chances of coming back are a little slimmer. So the Braves get another one off the Mets, and I think successfully are kind of squashing that fire, extinguishing it just a little bit. We'll see if the Mets can regain it. I'm just thinking, though, the Braves were thrilled to see Lugo out there on the mound, who didn't even make it through the inning. He got one out. One. And so 5 runs in the seventh doom the Mets, but give the Braves another victory. Dallas Keuchel looked really strong. He actually threw 98 pitches in his 6 innings, but it was shutout ball. Only 5 hits, couple of walks in there. He looked real strong. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While the Braves and the Mets are locking horns, the Phillies have enjoyed their series against the Chicago Cubs.
0-1 the count. Here's the pitch. Swung on, hit in the air, deep left center field, and that ball is going to go way back and gone. Bryce Harper has homered off Hamels. 2-run shot here in the bottom of the first, his 23rd of the year. And it's 2-0 Philadelphia.
Bryce Harper actually hits 24 in the sixth inning, though it wasn't off Cole Hamels. Scott Fransky with the call there on the Phillies radio network. Oh, and I should have mentioned the Braves radio network before when I was talking about the Mets and Braves. My bad. Cole Hamels' first time pitching in Philadelphia since the 2015 trade to Texas. And he gives up 8 runs on 9 hits and a couple of walks in there as well. 2 innings is all that he can get through. Although he did say it was really nice to be back in Philadelphia, and he got a great standing ovation too. You know who else was back? I love this. Back as the hitting coach. Well, hey, Charlie Manuel. A little bit odd, but I think it's cool. It's beloved there, obviously. And so he's now with Gabe Kapler as the hitting coach for Philadelphia. It's a Phillies team that continues to be part of the conversation. Same thing with the Nationals. A lot of offense. So Phillies put up 11 runs on the Cubs. The Nationals also had a nice rout of their own. It's a good night of work when you can say you had a rout. So the NL East is, except for the Marlins, who got stuffed by the Dodgers. The NL East is a division worth watching, a lot like the NL Central. We got a bunch of different teams that are involved. Braves still have a nice lead, a nice handle, but it's good to see some of these other teams making noise. 17 runs by the Nats against the Reds. By the way, that Trevor Bauer in Cincinnati thing not working out so well right now. I feel like this is not the right time to tweet Trevor Bauer. Steer clear at your own risk. But the Nationals had 3 home runs in the fifth inning and They were all smiles as well. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Yankees, this is a stat that I'm not going to look up. I'm just going to trust it. I heard it on CBS News, actually. And I had to think about it for a bit. But it's the first time in 10 years that the Yankees have been 40 games above 500. I'm not sure which part of that is more surprising, the decade or the 40 games above 500. That one takes a little bit before it'll sink in as well. So the Yankees and Dodgers now have the identical records. Best records in Major League Baseball, 81 and 41. And so I've seen some of you, as part of our burning questions that have no answers in sports, have no answers yet. Will it be the Yankees and the Dodgers in the World Series? We're not there yet. Got to be patient. But Chris said earlier, which of the two cities, New York or LA, which are the top two media markets in the country, so generally lines up with the population, number of people, which city will have a championship first? That's kind of fun to think about, actually. And certainly there could be answers to that even in October, if the Yankees or if the Dodgers would win a World Series. But if not, think about the potential for basketball season. Lakers, Clippers. How about the Rams or the Chargers? It's kind of fun to think about the LA possibilities in football as well. Giants and Jets. I mean, there have to be sleeper teams in every season. So, you know, never say never. Yeah, that's a good question. I like it. And then some of you are just asking about your cities in general. Which franchise will make the playoffs first? Which franchise in our city will have the hardware first? It's good stuff. See what I mean about the burning questions? And the kind of stuff that keeps you up at night. I just saw this on our Facebook page. Monica says, so, with about six different O's, about Tom Brady's contract, ? Although she calls him T. Brady, just abbreviate it, T period Brady. I guess you could just go with Brady. I don't know if people would have any trouble figuring that out. But did you know there's another Brady who's an MVP? I have to go back and remember his first name. But there is another Brady football player who is an MVP. I saw this story this week and I was like, oh, I got to bring this up on the show because it's so quirky. I promise I'll do that before the end of the hour. But it requires me going back and getting the details right. From the category of you can't make this stuff up. Hey, we'll put that together on QB News. That's coming up next. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What are your burning questions in sports that have no answers and they drive you crazy? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Tonight, you understand?
Have the off-season blues.
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop. Fires downfield. It's caught to the five, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the five. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone. It is caught for the win.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Okay, I found the story, and maybe some of you have already heard this, but it's funny enough to share with our national audience, because maybe you hadn't heard of it outside of Albany, New York. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and yes, this is in fact QB news. It wasn't Tom Brady, but Tom Grady, who was MVP of the Arena Bowl. He's the quarterback for the Albany Empire, and he was named MVP of the Arena Bowl as the Empire beat the Philadelphia Soul. And in case you're keeping score at home, it was a championship for Albany for the first time since 1999. But Can you just, I wasn't looking at the various jokes on social media, but can you just imagine all the cracks that were taking place? Not Tom Brady MVP, but Tom Grady. And he's actually won the regular season MVP in the AFL 3 times, but got a little more attention because he was the MVP of the Arena Bowl. Yeah, really funny stuff. So congratulations to Tom Grady as well as Tom Brady. I wonder if Brady tweeted him. Can you see? Can you check and see if Tom Brady tweeted him or put anything out there on Instagram? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, some NFL QB news because that's what we love. From one MVP to another, Aaron Rodgers will play a quarter or so along with most of the Green Bay Packers regulars in preseason game 2. They're taking on the Baltimore Ravens, and he was asked what exactly he wants to come out of this first quarter of preseason action.
Efficiency, communication, sorted out the right way with the plays, coming in, you know, and then the delivery to the line and any adjustments within the plays, and then, you know, obviously be efficient.
Efficiency, communication. It's a good place to start, especially when you've got a brand new head coach in Matt LaFleur and a brand new system. Different guys on your offensive side of the ball that you'll be throwing to, different targets. Now, don't ask him anymore about his new head coach. He's tired of answering questions about his new head coach. He got a little salty with reporters later in the press conference, but we're trying to keep it on the up and up here. He does credit coach with bringing kind of a fresh energy to camp and said so far it's been real good and there's a lot of optimism.
There's juice with the players and the coaches. So there's a lot of people bouncing around. And, you know, when we have that D-line that they can throw at us in a two-minute situation of the Smiths and Rashawn and Kenny, that's pretty tough four-man rush there. So they're playing good. And then when they're playing good, it kind of picks the level up of the entire practice. But, you know, we were getting after them pretty good today. I felt like, you know, they may have won the two-minute, but I think we kind of won the day. They wanted to bounce around about something, so we're kind of bouncing around about the two-minute drill. But it's been fun, man. The competition's been great. This practices, as you guys, I'm sure, are timing them, they're shorter than maybe some we've done in the past, but they're pretty competitive. It's pretty up-tempo.
As you guys were timing them, I'm sure. Yeah, some changes there from Matt LaFleur. Lots of energy, go hard, bring it. Maybe don't go as long, but make sure that you give it everything you've got when you're out there. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Wanted to hear what Aaron had to say about the new helmets that he's wearing or that he's trying, because, of course, he was the player that Antonio Brown cited when he said that he was being subjected to harsher treatment and harsher scrutiny than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, who also are out of the NFL's graces now and having to switch helmets.
I'm still working through it, but I'm considering 2 that are certified and legal.
Is it difficult adjusting? Like, what's the breaking in process?
Of a helmet?
Yeah.
No, it's not difficult at all. You know, I've worn very similar helmets my entire career. I changed after 10 when I had 2 concussions to a safer one. I was wearing like the one that Farby was wearing for so long, and that was a little outdated probably. And then I think around that time when the CBA got signed, they had some better regulations about the safety quality of the helmets. And I've just kind of been up to date for years. Last year, my helmet, because there's been such advancements in helmet safety, my helmet was actually in the not as safe category. But anybody wearing that kind of got 1 more year to find a new helmet. So, I mean, I knew coming in I was going to have to make a change.
I like how he labels it the not as safe category. And he doesn't sound like he's having an issue with it to me. It's, you know, it's not the easiest thing to break in a new helmet, break in a new glove if you're talking about baseball, softball. And we had a great conversation with Steve Tasker, a former Bills All-Pro receiver. If you missed it, it's part of our podcast, After Hours, amylawrence.com. Really insightful about changing helmets. But Rodgers fairly resigned to it and says it's not all that big of a deal. Different grousing about the process from Tom Brady. Obviously, Antonio Brown's the only one who went AWOL. But I appreciate that the NFL is sticking to its guns because you want safety to be not just lip service, but actual actions and steps taken to protect the players. So Aaron Rodgers and most of the Green Bay Packers, big names, their starters, will be on the field for a quarter or so come Thursday night. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What you will not see in preseason game number two for the Cleveland Browns is one Odell Beckham Jr. Now, he doesn't always play in preseason anyway, but come Saturday, you're going to be missing him and also missing Andrew Luck in this matchup between the Browns and the Colts. What we found out about OBJ, though, is that he's dealing with what Freddie Kitchens calls a minor hip injury, which forces other guys to step up and do their parts.
Getting guys ready, you know, the next man up mentality. You know, obviously, he's going to be ready to go when it's time to play. You know, him sitting out and doing some of these things mentally is him getting used to the offense and seeing different things, hearing us communicate it. And so when he comes out there, he can be full speed and know exactly what to do. But it's great for those other guys to get out there and get a chance to see the change of pace. And just so we have, I mean, the more guys that are ready to play with that first group, the better.
So Baker Mayfield's good without OBJ. They're expecting him to go through his mental paces, which is the same thing that Freddie Kitchens said. Freddie, by the way, it's got a new phrase that I really like. It's not quite whoop-de-hail, but it's pretty close. It's right in that same category. He was pointing to Baker Mayfield as being a fighter and a guy who really sets the tone for the rest of the locker room.
He's always been told no, all right? And so when people are always told no, they have a sense of, I'm going to show you yes. And I think that's what has been his calling card, and I love that about him. I love that about the Cleveland fans. They've always been told no. I want everybody to rally together. And, you know, we're going to build something here that people are not going to be able to tell us no, you know. So we control that. Nobody outside influence, no outside expectations. None of that's controlled. You know, we control what we do. It's not the expectations. So as long as we do that, we'll be fine.
Nobody's going to tell us no. You know, I love Freddie Kitchens. He's going to be one of my favorite listens. Since we don't get as much Chuck Pagano anymore, Freddie Kitchens, the new go-to. And Bruce Arians, who's back as well. All right, one more piece of QB news. This comes from the Washington Redskins. It's been a struggle for Colt McCoy. He's still healing from that broken leg that he suffered last December. And then three subsequent surgeries because of complications. So he's not able to practice or to take as many reps as the Redskins would like. Remember, he was listed at number one on the depth chart, but instead it will be Case Keenum who starts tonight. And Coach Gruden right now says for sure. I mean, the longer that you don't have McCoy out there, it definitely affects the quarterback room moving forward.
Right now he's not able to do much, so... but yeah, I mean, we, you know, try to get everybody an equal look. You know, unfortunately for him right now, he's dealing with a little bit of pain and some discomfort, and we just got to get that fixed first, and then we'll worry about everything else later.
It is one of the burning questions about the NFL season and quarterbacks. We don't have many quarterback competitions that are legit, but certainly we've got one with the Washington Redskins. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. We're asking you burning questions in sports that right now have no answers. So these are not questions for me. These are rhetorical questions that we don't have answers for yet. I like this one from Billy. Will Antonio Brown ever dance again? Guilty feet have got no rhythm. That one made me laugh out loud. So yeah, you got some good ones and you got some goofy ones. But either way, look for Yoda on the Facebook page and look for the puppy on Twitter. It's
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now Jay-Z and Roger Goodell holding joint press conferences, and apparently there was a lot made of this. It was considered a very big deal that it wasn't Roc Nation and Jay-Z going to Goodell and the NFL offices. It was Roger Goodell going to Roc Nation headquarters. The mountain went to Muhammad instead of Muhammad going to the mountain. And so I don't know if Jay-Z is going to have to amend the words to that song. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So a new partnership in which Roc Nation will spearhead all the music and entertainment initiatives for the NFL. You want to talk about an incredible opportunity. If I'm Jay-Z and Roc Nation, I'd jump at that too. And as for the criticism, I didn't see any video footage, but I read a lot of quotes and I read what other people wrote who were allowed. In fact, Chris said that Tiki Barber was there. That's neat. I look forward to hearing what he has to say here on CBS Sports Radio. The idea that Jay-Z would have to field a bunch of questions about being a sellout, essentially. You're working with the NFL, even though Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. Questions like that. According to what I read, he handled it pretty well. He stayed relatively even keel and said he felt like this was an opportunity to align himself with the league and have an even greater sphere of influence over football owners as well as football fans. And so we'll see if it works out that way. But certainly, he did mention the Inspire Change initiative, which is the one that the NFL has set up specifically to address social injustice and to try to work with some of the players who have causes that line up with promoting social justice. And remember, that was a partnership they settled on 2 years ago, I think. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. So much for the windscreen doing its job. That's what happens when I get too close to the mic. Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I mentioned earlier, it's my spaghetti plate brain. Very often you pull one piece and a whole bunch of other pieces of spaghetti fall off the plate. I did, by the way, you guys, get a suggestion about cleaning the windscreen on your mic. So a woman, I think her name is Terry, sent me a tweet that said, now this makes me nervous. I might end up having to buy a new mic cover. But I'm going to trust her. She said to soak the mic screen in apple cider vinegar. I don't mind the smell of vinegar. I actually use vinegar in cooking a lot. But she says, soak the mic screen in apple cider vinegar. I'm a stage tech and clean mics all the time. But she doesn't address the foam. Like, there are mic screens that are straight metal or some other type of alloy. This is a foam one. Do we think it will dry?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, it may wipe away the germs, but I don't know if that's going to soak in or not.
I don't know. I mean, eventually, could I just put a hairdryer over it if it didn't? I don't know.
That's a funny scene, coming into the studio with a hairdryer.
We sound like weirdos right now, or I do. So I don't know if she means like the foam mic cover, except that I didn't put anything on Twitter about it. She just sent me a tweet, which means that she was probably listening, right? All right.
It was very nice of her. I just don't think this is going to end well.
You don't think so?
No,
I mean, what's the
so.
Worst that could happen? It could absorb all the apple cider vinegar and then...
You got to buy a new one.
Be five times its size? Could you imagine? I bring in my personal mic cover, the personal windscreen, and make the entire studio smell like apple cider vinegar. Although, considering half the time it smells like Antonio Brown's feet and the other time, half the time it smells like the food that people have been eating in here, apple cider vinegar might be an upgrade. Never know.
It's a little pungent to be right by your nose,
pungent.
Though, when you're going to speak into the mic and you get a whiff of that every time you go to talk, that might be a little intense.
Pungent, such a great word. I do love pungent.
Stings the nostrils.
Who could you imagine? And you know when your nose stings, how hard it, your eyes sometimes water, how hard it is to talk when your nose stings? That happens to me a lot in the winter. Well, I don't know how we got on this tangent. Stop it. I blame you guys. I can't blame you guys. It happens to me all the time. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so I wanted to make sure you heard from Golden Tate because he himself is accepting responsibility for the 4-game suspension to start the year, but also is trying to explain what happened. Now, I don't want to say pleasantly surprised because it makes it sound like I'm happy that he got suspended. That's not the case. I appreciate that the NFL is not making an exception because I don't feel like the NFL can set a precedent where it excuses guys if it's judging the intent to be altruistic. So if Golden Tate's intent was not to cheat by using a banned substance, and he was, in fact, using it as part of a fertility treatment, then you feel bad, right? Except he didn't follow proper protocol. He didn't alert the NFL ahead of time, let the league know that he had a doctor's authorization, and this was coming from a doctor's prescription. He didn't follow the proper channels. And so if the NFL had taken his word for it, so to speak, well, that opens the door for all kinds of others who are cheating to try the same path, it's probably a good thing the show ends in like 12 minutes, to try the same mode of getting away with it, even if theirs wasn't about fertility treatments. And so Golden Tate actually explains how he learned about the 4-game suspension initially.
A few weeks after my test, I went back and spoke to the doctor. Initially the doctor said it was not a banned substance. In fact, he had given it to other NFL players, which is why I kind of trusted it and kind of kept living my life. And, I was at the dinner one night with a guy who worked for me, and we started talking about another player who was getting suspended for something completely different, and just kind of a light kind of went off my head. Let me just call the doctor and make sure, just to make myself feel better. And I asked him what the active ingredient was. And then we looked it up right then and there. And sure enough, it was a banned substance.
I mean, that's a tough way to find out. It's a tough lesson to learn. But it is his responsibility to know what the protocols are. Or it's his agent's responsibility. Somebody in his camp, somebody who works for him, has to know if he's not going to know. You can't just trust the doctor. As much as you'd like to be able to, the doctor's not the one who's going to serve the suspension. The doctor's not the one who stands to lose money. The doctor's not the one who is leaving his new team high and dry.
No problem accepting the punishment. Ultimately, I'm responsible for what's put in my body, ultimately. But I guess the tough thing I'm dealing with is that I'm letting down a lot of people. My family, the guys in the locker room, the people in the organization that brought me here. And that's kind of what's been crushing me with this whole situation.
I appreciate that. And he sounds not only like he's accepted responsibility, but like he's got the proper attitude about it. It sucks if, in fact, he was attempting to have a baby with his wife. And that's what the motivation was. But I certainly understand not just the NFL, but any sports league having to draw a hard line. I mean, this seems like it's an even easier answer with an arbitrator than Antonio Brown in his helmet. No, we can't make an exception. We put the protocol and the rules in place for a reason so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen, but what kind of a precedent are we setting if we take your word for it? As hard as that is, it's still the right thing to do. Although he definitely does leave the New York Giants in a bit of a lurch to start the season. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So what are your burning questions about sports for which we have no answers? Oh, gosh. We have so many Cowboys fans who love our Facebook page. David says, why does Jerry Jones feel he needs to speak to the media every day? Is it every day? Is it really every day? Some of those days he has to be out there on that yacht that is the size of a small city. Remember the yacht he bought a couple years ago? Oh, my gosh. We went through all the specs. That was crazy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I remember, too. Allen says, who's going to the playoffs first, Indians or Browns? Indians have the earlier opportunity. Larry says, will college football playoffs expand? Shannon says, will the pass interference replay ruin the NFL season? Ooh, that's dark and twisty. Will it ruin the NFL season? Come on. It can only ruin the NFL season if you let it ruin the NFL season. We've managed to suck it up through other waves of rule changes and all kinds of crazy replay. I would agree that replay is one of my least favorite developments in any sport. Oh, sometimes it makes me want to turn off the TV and walk away. Like, I don't really care about the ending that much. Although it does give you an extra opportunity for bathroom breaks or snack breaks if you need them. But it's not going to ruin the NFL season. Let's do an over-under on exactly how many times this rule comes into play, like late in a game where it's really needed, where it's like the white hot spot, like the NFC Championship. I mean, I'll say a half a dozen. I don't feel like it's going to be more than that. Are you guys thinking it's a higher number, or are you going under?
A dozen times throughout the entire season?
Yeah, that it's actually going to be an issue.
I think it'll be more than that. Not a lot more, but like once a week, maybe.
All right. That'll give us plenty to talk about. Trev says on Facebook, Tiger Woods' health issues, are they a mental block, an excuse, or as serious as they once were at this point in his career? Are we as fans wanting too much out of him? I think his expectations for himself are far higher than anything that we could level at Tiger Woods. Although he set the standard really high, of course. Doug says quarterbacks, Redskins have starter yet to be decided. Zachary, is Rosen going to play like a first-round QB, or is he just a complete bust and it wasn't just Arizona? Also an answer that we do not have yet. We may not even have this year. Kind of depends on Ryan Fitzmagic. Eduardo says, will Dak realize his contract request could hurt future contracts for other players? How about this one? Will fans realize Dak Prescott did not ask for $40 million a year? Nope, that is the story that just continues to get bigger and bigger, more and more legs. And it doesn't matter what the truth is now. All right, we're back tonight after football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.